Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Martin Luther said of this Christmas text from Luke, "This gospel is so clear that it requires very little explanation, but it should be well considered and taken deeply to heart. And no one will receive more benefit from it than those who, with a quiet, calm heart, banish everything else from their mind and diligently look into it. Therefore, if you would be enlightened and warmed, if you would see the wonder of divine grace and have your heart aglow and enlightened, devout and joyful, go where you can silently meditate and lay hold of this picture deep in your heart, and you will see miracle upon miracle." An infant, some strips of cloth, and a feed trough. Miracle upon miracle. It wasn't a joke or a hallucination, not even a tragedy of poverty, but a sign, so said the angel to the shepherds. "This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." A sign given by God and proclaimed by an angel to some nameless shepherds out in the field, minding their own business, minding their flock. "To you," the angel said, "to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And only after the angel had told the shepherds the good news, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace." What a vision that must have been. To be out in the Judean Badlands and have not only one angel telling you some amazing news, but then having a whole multitude of heavenly hosts singing glorias all around. Have you ever been out on the open prairie at night and imagined a host of angels singing to you? What a sight it must have been. What glorious sounds they must have made. But the sights and the sounds were just that. Sights and sounds. Because the sign was not the whole sky lighting up with the heavenly chorus, singing glory to God. The sign was an infant wrapped in some strips of cloth, laying in a feed trough. Never before and never again has the good news of God's salvation ever been so amazingly simple and innocent. Think about it. In the Old Testament, God saved through power and might and miracles. But from the day God's first two human beings were thrown out of the garden until the day of Jesus' birth, sin was the constant barrier between God and God's people. And from the time Herod heard of Jesus' birth until today, sin will continue to be a barrier between God and God's people. Even as a child, earthly rulers saw Jesus as a threat to what they held dear. And as an adult, they crucified him. And even after he rose again from the dead, fear and disbelief and sin have kept the hearts of the world alienated from God. And until the last day, sin will serve as a barrier between God and God's people. But for one night, in the city of David, the story was pure and sweet and simple and innocent. And the people who surrounded the story were faithful. And in hearing the good news, they responded by going to Bethlehem to see the child, to worship the child, and by telling others the good news, and by returning to their work, ever praising God for all that they had heard and seen. I think somehow the pure and innocent and uncomplicated nature of this story, Luke chapter 2, is what draws us all back to it year after year, whether it's 11 o'clock at night or 6 in the morning at Bishop Hill. I am grateful to Tom Larson, who preaches at that service every year. I told him I'm okay if I don't have to be in that rotation. I'll be okay. But this is the story that brings us out in droves year after year. There it is in Luke chapter 2. Shepherds tending their flocks by night. Angels singing their praises of God before an audience of shepherds. Joseph, not quite yet married, but already part of an amazing family that will be remembered more for the child before him in that manger than for his father's father 28 generations back to King David. Mary, pondering all these things in her heart. Oh yes, and an infant. The Son of God, born among the animals. An infant who will save the world. An infant who is Christ, our Savior. It is a very simple story. The events are simple. The characters could hardly be any more humble. It's the simplest, purest moment of gospel in the Bible, and it contains the most innocent moment of proclamation and acceptance of the message. Beyond that, life gets kind of complicated for Jesus and for us. The people in the story will not always be so simple nor so faithful. Mary will soon have more complex matters to ponder, and in our lives, the simplicity of the Christmas event has all sorts of competitors. The flash and the glitz, the elaboration on the story, which try to improve upon what God has already done perfectly. Bigger and better and more become the battle cries of our culture. Do more, buy more, write more, cook more. Push to the peak, December 25th. 2 more days, 12 more hours. We do it at church too. 12 more minutes till the service begins, or 5, or 3. But in the end, what brings us back year after year is not the rush or the commotion of Christmas, but the baby in a manger. The simple story that even the tiniest of God's children loves to hear again and again. It's a different kind of good news than we hear at Easter. It takes a simpler kind of faith to hear and understand. It does not even need to reconcile much with the concept of sin, because this message is so unconditional. It's the simple message of God's love brought to earth for all people. and given as a child to people of simple means and simple faith. With such good news coming in such humble setting, what kind of great things can we seek yet this Christmas? We seek to be as worthy as those shepherds, to hear firsthand the good news of the birth of the Christ child, to be touched by God and changed forever by an infant, some strips of cloth, and a feed trough. And so, returning to the words of Martin Luther, he says, "Therefore, if you would be enlightened and warmed, if you would see the wonder of divine grace and have your heart aglow and enlightened, devout and joyful, go where you can silently meditate and lay hold of this picture deep in your heart. And you will see miracle upon miracle." Amen.